Go ahead, be seated. Let's get into the Word of God now. Open your Bibles with me to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. We're going to look at verse 31 and verse 32 here. Romans 8, 31 says, "What shall we say then, or what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Now think about that for just a minute. If God's on your side, who can be against you? See, you know, when we talk about victorious life and living victorious, you have to understand that God is on your side. And you and God are the majority, don't matter how many comes against you. Amen. And here's the thing, it don't matter what other folks are doing. Come on, don't worry about what other people are doing, your friends or anybody else. You stay with God. You just choose and understand that God's with me. In verse 32, he says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Everybody see that? So he says, you know, that here we are, got God for us, and now because he gave his son for us, now he's going to give us all things freely. That means that you and I can have a victorious life, but the secret to life is to live it in him. Come on, it's not trying to live in the world, be famous in the world, be popular in the world. It's all about being a Jesus person, a believer, a child of God. That's what's going to make us have a victorious life. Philippians, listen to this, Philippians 4:13 says what? "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." I can do all things, not just some things, not just a few things, but I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Now, Jesus said in John 15:5, he said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me," now get that, "he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." Notice that. Then he goes on and he says, "For without me you can do nothing." So see, we've got to be in him, him in us. And that way we can know that we can live this victorious life. But to live it, there's a couple of things that we need to get lined up in our lives, okay? The first thing we need to get lined up is our attitude. Amen. Our attitude. We've got to get rid of stinking thinking. Amen. I know that's a lot of people don't want to hear that. But it's the thinking part, our attitude. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." What's he talking about? A man, the way he thinks in his heart, so is he. Goes on and says, "Eat, drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." You've got to understand that the way you think determines the outcome of your life. Amen. The way you think, your attitude will determine even from day to day. Anybody ever get up with a bad attitude? Come on, it just ruins your day, right? But if you get up with a good attitude, you can have a good day. Well, think about that in terms of our life. What if we've got the right attitude toward life? We've not got this attitude, "Well, you know, if anything can happen, it will." Come on, that's what the world says. But you and I need to say what the Word says. And that's all. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. My attitude has got to be the attitude of a winner, not a loser. Come on, I gotta have a victorious attitude. So if we're going to be able to live victorious life, we've got to get rid of the stinking thinking. That means that we have to see ourselves as victorious. Amen. You have to see yourself. You can't compare yourself to somebody else. Amen. No matter what it looked, "Well, you know, so and so, you know, they had this and they had that and they still fail." And you can't compare. Listen, God is for you. God be for you. Who can be against you? Right? So we have to realize that we got to get a hold of this and see ourselves victorious. You got to see yourself there before you ever get there. Come on. What? Being able to see, I'll give you scripture just a minute. But you and I have to see ourselves not as somebody else, which is not as somebody, we're not even talking about it and say some things, but I keep and I use this a lot, but I just love it. Your mom and dad had to go across that mountain, had to get over to those kids, and the big engine broke down. Right? And then they asked the religion, "Can you do it?" You know what he said? "I think I can." You know, she didn't say, "Not too little." Come on, that's Christian. Well, I could do that. I'm not going to do that. No, that's not my thing. Come on now. Right? Come on now. That's not my job. A lot of times it's said, you know. No, the little engine said, I think I can. And so they hooked him up to that load. And he starts across the hill, and when he starts getting under pressure. See, when you start getting under pressure, then that's when you really got to get your thinking kicked in. Did you hear me? See, a lot of folks quit as soon as the pressure comes. They just give up. Oh, I can't do this. I've lifted more with people, and they get on that bench, and they're going to let that weight come down. And they just pick it up off the bench. And before they ever come down with it to try it, they just pick it up and they say, oh, no, I can't do that. Get a hold of it. They didn't even try. You see, and that was the thing. If you were going to challenge yourself, you had to try it. We always did it till we couldn't lift it no more. You see, instead of stopping here, we would bring it down. And if it couldn't get it up, then we'd say, help us. You see. That's the way you built your muscle, was because you had to go till you couldn't go anymore. The little engine said, I think I can. When he got under pressure, and him said, instead of him saying, oh man, this is hard. I don't know if I can do this or not. No, he just keeps saying, I think I can. And he keeps pulling, and he says, I think I can. And he keeps pulling, and he says, I think I can. See, Christians need to think they can, even if they don't think they can. Come on now. He just kept saying, I think I can. And when he finally got to the top and started over the other side, what'd he do? I thought I could. Right? I thought I could. You see, at no time was there ever the thought, I can't. And Christians have to adjust their attitude and get rid of the I can'ts. Come on. See, if you have I can'ts in your life, then you're going against the Word of God in your life. What? Yeah, because if I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, right? Isn't that what the Word says about us? If we say we can't, then what we say is, God, you're a liar. I know you don't just say it out, but isn't that what we're in? Isn't that the inclination? That if God says we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us, if we have the attitude, I can't, then we don't believe what God said. Right? And so we've got to get rid of that kind of thinking and realize that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Will some of it be a challenge? Absolutely. I'm just a little bit of a picture of two different attitudes. See, God said, I've given you the land already. Go over there and look at it and see if it's not like I said it was. Well, when they sent the 12 spies, when they went over there and they came back, they had fruit from the land. They said, it's just like God said it was. Nevertheless. You see, here we go now. God said it, but. Right? And I think a lot of us Christians are that way. God said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, but. Right? Nevertheless. They said, nevertheless, there's giants in that land. And we looked like grasshoppers in their sight. I don't think the giants came up and told them that they looked like grasshoppers. I think they had the thinking, man, those are big, big guys. And they put themselves in that place. And they said, we're not able to overcome them. But Joshua and Caleb, see, they had a different attitude. They had a different thinking. They said, let us go up at once because we are well able. See, they realized that if God be for me, who can be against me? So the giants are nothing and I won't compare myself to a giant. Did you hear me? Do you understand? Think about when they went up against a giant, he's just a young boy. He doesn't have a sword, doesn't have a spear, doesn't have a shield, but he's got a sling. And it don't matter if he'd have thrown a cotton ball at the giant. It still would have hit him in the forehead and buried up and killed him. because it was the power of God that took care of that giant and brought him down. If you'll understand that it's the power of God working in your life, you'll start to live more victorious because you'll realize it's not you, but it's God working in you and through you that makes you victorious. See, people, religious folk get mad when we start talking the way we're talking now about us being victorious, because they want this that sad story. You know, we're just soldiers, and we're just soldiering around. We're just kind of flopping around, trying to get by. One of these days, though, it'll be worth it. They just think we're just trying to get by through this time, so we can finally get in. That's not what God wants us to do. Because people seem as victorious. Come on, think about it. Heavenly Father, any of you parents want your kids to look like they're weak and down and out and a bit? Of course not. You want them to look the best you can, if you want them to be as successful as possible, right? Come on, you want them to look and say, hey, that's my boy, right? That's my girl. Come on, you want to be a good parent, wants to see your children's key. Well, he wants us to live this victorious life, and if we're not living it, then we're missing out on what he's got for us. And so our attitude is, God, we're not looking at what we're coming up against. We're not looking at what we're facing. We're not
comparing ourselves to anybody. We're realizing that I've got God on the inside of me, and so I cannot fail. Matter of fact, I put this down, you're guaranteed to fail if you can't see yourself winning. You realize that? You're guaranteed to fail if you can't see yourself winning. You've got to see yourself winning before you ever get into the race, ever get into the battle. Whatever it is you get into. You know, a lot of folks they'll go in, and especially folks going into the education system and that kind of thing, they'll say, well, I've got to go take my ACT test, but I don't know if I can do that or not. See, that's the wrong attitude to have. You need to be going into that thing saying, I think I'll make the highest grade I've ever seen anybody make on this. I think I'll just ace this thing. Right? Come on, when you're going through some things, you need to see yourself as passing. You need to see yourself as winning. You need to see yourself as achieving, because you can. God says you can. But it'll be up to you. But now if you've already got yourself losing before you ever get in it, you're guaranteed to fail. Amen. So we have to decide, I'm going to get a hold of this thing, and I'm going to see myself winning, because Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You have to have vision for your life and see yourself victorious if you want to live victorious. Amen. You know, folks will say things and say, well, you know, I mean, they came out of a poor family and they did this and they did that and all that stuff. What's that got to do with anything? Right? Come on, think about it. It's not about that. It's about what my attitude is now. It's about, how am I going to see myself successful, or am I going to follow maybe in some of my family's footsteps? Come on now. Am I going to just stay over here and be brought up on welfare, or am I going to step out to my full potential and be whatever God wants me to be? Come on. It's a choice. You decide that. You know, sometimes it takes hard work. Sometimes it takes you stretching yourself beyond what you ever thought you could do. Come on now. You have to make up your mind, I'm not staying where I'm at. I'm going to keep moving into this glorious life God's given me, and I'm going to live victorious in it, whether anybody else does or not. Come on now. I'm going to walk in my divine health. I'm going to walk in my divine prosperity. I'm going to do what God says I can do, and I'm going to have what God says I can have, because He said I could. Amen. It's a promise from God, and so we have to see ourselves there. Now, let me tell you something else. You're guaranteed to fail if you don't change your thinking. Okay? We're talking about our attitude. You're guaranteed to fail if you don't change your thinking. See, because you can get set and get a mindset, but you have to allow yourself to be able to change. Now, we're not talking about change the Word of God. But there's things in the Word of God that maybe you've had your mindset a different way, but the Word says something else. You have to be willing to change your mind to what the Word says. Amen. You know, a lot of us grew up set in a lot of things, right? Come on, some of us, we were brought up different ways and different things, and there were certain things that we brought through the family, and we were set at, this is the way. You know, I've talked about this before a long time ago, and with Bill and Dee. You know, you do certain things a certain way, and you kind of get set in that, and if you're not careful, you'll understand that you can get in a rut. Okay? Remember I told you all about this a long time ago when we had the family center back here. I've been the one that buffed it all the time. we had the buffer, and I would buff it. And I had a certain way that I buffed it. And I liked the way that I buffed it, and it looked good after I got it buffed. And I was, you know, just to be honest with you, I was kind of proud of the way it turned out, you know. Well, you know, Dee and Bill's helping, you know, back then. Both of them had retired, and they were coming up here every day. And so one day, they're going to buff the back there. And me and Pastor Ed and I had to go somewhere to do something. And when I come back, you know, I'd always done it this way. When I come back, there they was going back and forth crossways. And I told Pastor Ed, I said, well, I got to leave. And she said, what's wrong? I said, I can't stand it. They're not doing it right. Okay. It wasn't that they wasn't doing it right. They wasn't doing it the way I did it. You see, you can get set and get this mindset that it's not done your way, then it's not the right way. Isn't that right? Well, you know, make a long story short, when they got done, it looked just as good as it did when the way I did it. Because buffing is buffing. But you see, if we're not careful, we can get ourselves set, man, if it's not that way. Right? Come on now. See, that's a thinking thing that we got to change, and we got to get ourselves away from certain things, you know. I've always done this, and I've always done that, and this is what we've always done, you know. And sometimes it's hard for people to work with other people because they do certain things a certain way. Charles and I work together a whole lot, and we'd be building something. It never fails when we pick something up to flip it over. Charles is flipping it one way, and I'm flipping it another. Isn't that right, Charles? We get it in the air, and we finally just have to stop and say, okay, which way you want to go with this? Really? And we, I mean, it's not, it's just, he thinks it one way, I think it another way. We'll be doing something, and we'll be talking about it, and Charles will say, well, what was you thinking about the here? And I'll say, what'd you have in mind? He'll say, and you know, they both work. But we had two different ways of thinking about it. And so, when it comes to the things of God, we have to understand that there are things that may work better, and sometimes that happens with me and Charles. One thing will work better than the other. There's some times that if you're not set and you'll listen and you're willing to accept change, that you'll make it easier on yourself. Amen. A whole lot easier on yourself. But you have to decide. Pastorette was painting today. And she had some her rocking chairs on her porch, and I don't know why she just got into this big tizzy today, but all of a sudden on Wednesday, a church night, she's in a tizzy to paint her rocking chairs on her porch. Now, I wasn't too happy about that. I'll just be honest with you. But she's going to do it. And so I had to pack them all down to my garage because the Yellow Jackets was attacking her on the outside, and get in the garage where she could shut the door and get away from the things. And I saw, you know, I'm studying, I'm doing things, and I come down after a while, and she's got 1.5 chairs painted. She's painting them with a brush and a roller, you know. And it's difficult, you know. And she said, these chairs was probably sprayed the last time they were painted. And I said, well, I don't know, maybe they were. She said, oh, yeah, they were painted too good. It got in the crevices and everything. And I said, well, I probably sprayed them. I didn't remember. I said, if you want me to, I can spray them now. And she said, now you offer. Come on now. You don't know what I'm talking about. And so I said, okay, I'll go ahead and spray them. And so, you know, I got them out there, and I went outside in probably, 10 minutes or something like that. Just real quickly, I was able to spray them, you know, Yellow Jackets in your mouth, biting on you and all that, but we got it done. I think I got bit 3 times today. I mean, just nibbled on. I mean, you know, I don't know if y'all, they've done that to you or not, but they nibble on you just a little bit. If you don't sting you, they'll bite you a little bit. But anyway, we got that done, you know, and there they was. They were. Now, here's what I'm trying to bring out of that. It was so much quicker and so much easier to spray them than it was for her to take that paintbrush and try to paint all over the rocking chairs. Okay? Now, we both, the accomplishment was the same. They got painted. But one was easier. See, I think sometimes we make the things of God too hard. And if we'll look and see what the Word says and apply the Word to our life and realize, you know, if I want blessing in my life, I have to just do what the Word says and I can get it. I don't have to. A lot of times folk got this formula. If I do this and this and this and this, and then it'll come. But no, what's the Word say? How does the Word tell me to do it? And when I do what the Word says, if I'm not set and I'm willing to change my mind and do what the Word says, then it can bring blessing in my life and I won't fail. The Bible says this, and be not conformed to the world. This is Romans 2. Be not conformed or set to this world, But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you see, we've got to be careful and not get conformed to something. Be willing to renew our minds to the Word of God and change. So we've got to, first of all, if we want victorious life, we've got to change our attitude and be willing to change your attitude. Now, the next thing that'll help us if we get it lined up is our believing. Okay? Attitude and then our believing. Because our life will only be as good as what we believe. Amen. It's true. I understand that folks might not agree with me. But your level of victorious living will depend on how much you believe, how much of what you believe is based upon the Word of God. Amen. See, I can believe certain things, but if it's not based upon the Word of God, I don't have it for sure. But if it's based upon the Word of God, it's forever settled in heaven, and so it cannot fail. So if I believe the Word, then my victorious life is based upon the Word, then I'm going to have what the Word says. Amen. Now, you know, that doesn't mean I don't have to do my part. When it comes to believing in prosperity, I do my part. I'm a tither. I'm a giver. Amen. Now you say, well, you know, you're bragging. No, I'm not bragging. I'm doing what the Word says to do. Be a tither and a giver. And the Bible says when I'm a tither and a giver, that God's going to open up the windows of heaven and pour me out a blessing that won't be room enough to receive. Now, either God's a liar or He tells the truth. And the Bible says that God's not a man that He can lie, so He always tells the truth. So when I tithe and give, I can expect blessing. I can expect prosperity. Amen. I can expect it. He wishes above all things that I prosper and be in health. So that I have His Word on it that if I do what He says to do, if I believe what He says believe, then I will have what He says that I can have. Okay? Now, jump over here with me to Proverbs chapter 4. Let's get another scripture in here. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. Very familiar scriptures. We use them a lot. He says, "My son, attend to my words." Remember, we're talking about our believing here now. "Attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." Notice that. Now, he says, when you get my words and you attend to my words, look at that. Life to those that find them and health to your flesh. See, we're all the time talking about living victorious, living an abundant life. He says that's what the Word brings. But notice there that it also brings health to your flesh. You know, a lot of folks think when the Bible talks about healing, oh, it's talking about spiritual healing. You don't get spiritually healed. Your spirit man gets born again. Come on, spiritual healing. Who was that? Was it Marvin Gaye that sung that song? Something? No, that was sexual healing. That's a no-no. Okay. I think I get that wrong most times. But there's no such thing as spiritual healing. You get born again. Your spirit man gets made new. But this flesh can use some healing sometimes. Right? And it says that the words, when you find them and you hide them in your heart, keep them before your eyes, they'll be health to your flesh. Amen. So we understand that. If we'll believe the Word of God concerning health, concerning our healing, then it says that we can have that. If we believe what it says concerning life, we'll have what it says. But, you know, people say things like, you know, well, I don't believe there's anything wrong with this, or I don't believe there's anything wrong with that. Well, you've got to get your believing lined up with the Word of God. Amen. You know, folks will say what they believe a lot of times, but what they believe is not lined up. Come on now. You know, when somebody says something like, well, you know, I don't believe there's anything wrong with abortion, they're wrong. Amen. You know, there's people will say, well, I don't think there's anything wrong with homosexuality. You know, if they love one another, I don't care if that's what you believe. That's not what the Bible says. You're wrong. Now, I know that's not popular, especially in the times we live in now, but see, that's just the problem. People have drifted away from the Word of God to follow after their own lust and do what they want to do. Because that's what they feel like, or that's what I believe, there ain't nothing wrong with this, or believe, you know, folks still think there's nothing wrong with living together. Come on, I didn't get too many amens on that. See, but it's because our government is trying to talk them into, you know, living together and drawing checks and, you know, getting things paid for and all that kind of stuff. Come on. You know, and I mean, in the world, you understand it. Right? Come on, if you're not morally standard to the moral standard of the Word of God, then, you know, you two can get together. Well, we're going to marry one of these days, but right now we're not going to get married. We're going to let you get your college paid for free, and then we'll have a couple of kids and get them paid for and stuff, and somewhere down the road we'll get married. Because the government will pay for all the rest of that stuff. Come on. So our government really is trying to keep people over in sin. Come on. Why? Well, they don't care anything about God, you see. You have to get with the Word of God. Stay with the Word of God. Amen. I'm telling you, church, we've got to understand that our believing has to be lined up with the Word of God. I don't care if it higher lips Harry. Come on. It has to be. And no matter, and sometimes I ain't going to lie, there's times it hurts. It cuts pretty deep, right? But that's what the Bible says, that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Cuts going both ways. And it cuts us all at times. But we realize when I get lined up with the Word of God and get my believing lined up with the Word of God, then I can start to live this victorious life, because what I'm believing is truth, and the truth makes me free. I said the truth makes me free. Not what I think about the truth or what I believe about the truth, but the truth itself. And so I can enjoy my victorious life knowing that I'm backed up by the Word of God no matter what anybody else says. Now, we have to understand that there's things that are in this life that are set. And the Word of God's one of those things. Amen. It is one of those things. Being born again is the only way to get to heaven. Amen. Right? A combination lock's just got one combination to it, right? You have to give that combination if you want to get the lock unlocked. If you want to get to heaven, you must be born again. You must accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or you don't go. See, that's one of those settled facts. That's one of those settled truths that I don't care what you believe. You can believe in Muhammad if you want to. You can believe in Buddha if you want to. You can believe there's many ways to heaven, and you and Oprah can go to hell together. Because there's only one way. And His name is Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. Now, I pray that Oprah gets a change of heart and whatever. I don't, you know, that's between her and God. But I'm telling you, that's what she has said, that there's many ways to heaven. But there's only one way. It tells me she really don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ if she thinks there's other ways to heaven. Right? I mean, you know, you're known by your fruit. Right? Come on now. So you and I got to make sure that we know what the principles that are, I mean, they're set. There are things that are variables in the Word of God. Did you know that? There are things in the Word of God that vary according to the way you believe and the way you act on them. So you're looking at me funny. Well, prosperity is not one of those things that's set. It's God's will, right? I wish above all things. Right? He was made poor so that you become rich. He's done everything, right? But it's up to you whether you do your part or not. That's where the variable comes in. Right? Salvation is set. If you want to go to heaven, you must believe in Jesus Christ. But it might not be set for you. It's a variable for you, because you've got to decide whether or not you choose Jesus or not. It's conditional. Does that make it sound better for you? You see, when I talk about variables, people... They're, sometimes folks are just so religious minded that they can't see that God is a God that made us and gave us a free will and gave us a way to choose. Amen. There are certain things that are forever settled in heaven, like the Word of God. But there are also things that the Word of God tells us that is variable according to the way we react to it and respond to it. Amen. Right? I mean, you know, if healing's for us. By His stripes you were healed. But it's according to you whether or not you want to believe that and act on it. Come on, whether you believe you're the healed of God or not. So our believing, see, is that's really what brings us into this victorious life, is because now that I've got my attitude changed now, I've got to make sure that I'm believing the right thing. You know, I saw a thing on Facebook the other day, and it sounds really good. It sounds really good. Okay? It said that there is no wrong way to pray. And then it went into, you know, you can pray standing, pray kneeling, pray this and pray that, you know. Yeah. Okay, I get all that. That's all positions of prayer. But there is a wrong way to pray. So you're looking at me funny. If you pray in doubt and unbelief, that's the wrong way to pray. The only right way to pray is to pray in faith. See, you can pray the wrong... I mean, you know, a lot of folks absolutely destroy their prayer because they believe that they should say, "If it be thy will, O Lord." Because that's what religion says. Because it's been passed down and they've not studied out the Scriptures where it's talking about, you know, the Bible teaches us, you know, it's saying, if you're going to go, I'm going over there and make money and I'm going to be over there a year and stuff. He said, don't say that. Say, if it's the Lord's will, that's what I'm going to do. Okay? Now, that's one of those variable things. Okay? But as far as God's Word is, His Word is His will. So when I pray the Word, I'm praying the perfect prayer. I'm praying a prayer of faith. But if I pray, Lord, heal me if it be Your will, then what I'm saying is I don't know what Your will is, and so I don't know if You'll do it or not, so I'm in doubt and unbelief. Right? But if I pray, Lord, Your Word declares that by His stripes I was healed. And therefore, if I was healed, I am healed. Thank You, Lord, I am the healed of God. Now, I just prayed what the Word said, and God is obligated because He watches over His Word to hasten it in our life. The other is just thrown out there. See, so there is, you know, you again, what you believe affects your life. And if somebody just believes that there's no wrong way to pray, then they're messing up. See, you're believing a lie. Because that's not the truth. Now, what they were going on about the positions, yeah, it don't matter what position. You lay on your face or stand on your head or no, it doesn't matter where you know. It's not about the position. It's about, am I praying in faith or not? So there's faith and then there's doubt and unbelief. So what you believe on that can affect the way that you live your life, because you can end up praying a whole lot of doubt and unbelief. We need to make sure that we're doing what the Word of God says. Now, 1 John chapter 5 says this, "For whatsoever is born of God," this is verses 4 and 5, "overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world," what? "Even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God." Notice, if we're going to live victorious, we're going to have to live through faith. Because our faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Amen. You're not going to be an overcomer unless you use your faith. Now, 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So if here we are, and we have God saying, "I'm going to bless you. You need to just stay steadfast. You need to keep doing what you need to do according to the Word of God, and I'm going to bless you." Victorious living is as easy as believing what God's Word says and then doing it. That's how you have victorious life, according
to the Word. So get rid of fear. Swallow your pride. Get rid of this inferiority attitude. And just decide, you know what? I'm a son. I'm a daughter of God. God wonderfully made me, and He made me for such a time as this. And He wants me to live victorious. And I'm going to go out here and live victorious before the world. I don't care what they think. Amen. Come on, stand to your feet with me. Let's pray. Father, thank You, Lord God, that You declared in Your Word that You want us victorious because You've already given us the victory. Now, Father, I ask You to help us, Lord, to get that mindset, Lord, that we are already victors. We're already victorious. And we're not going to allow the world to drag us away from that, but we're going to pick up Your Word and let the Word lift us on up into that, Father God. Lord, that You'll be seen, Father, as the Father You are, one that loves Your children, one that blesses Your children, one that wants the best for Your children. And Lord, we'll get to reap the benefits of everything that You've promised us. And so we thank You for that, and we glorify You for that. In Jesus' name, amen.